Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Sting, who is bringing The Last Ship, his musical that he wrote, to National Theater from March 27th through April 5th. Thanks so much for joining us, sir.
It's nice to be back in D.C. I actually was at the National Theater in 88 in the Threepenny Opera playing Mac the Knife, so it's a bit of a pilgrimage for me.
Whoa, I didn't know that. Elaborate on that. 85, I was 1 year old. So memories of playing that real fast. It was over here at National Theater, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was great. I mean, I had a lovely time here. We were here for, I think, 2 weeks. I remember George Bush Sr. coming to see the show, and he remembered it when I met him years later. So, I have very fond memories of being in the town.
That's awesome. But of course, The Last Ship, it started, we just want to remind our listeners, I have to always assume that maybe there's someone on the radio listening that doesn't know anything about it. So it started, I think it premiered in Chicago, right? Then took it to New York, got nominated for a couple Tonys there in 2015. How excited is it are you to now have a national tour? Where are we on? Where's the stop on the tour?
We begin the tour in Los Angeles. We're playing there for a month, and we're in San Francisco. Then we come to D.C., and then we go to Detroit, which I'm very excited about because I feel the people of Detroit will resonate with them probably more than anywhere else because it's a story about what happens to a community when industry is taken away. And it's a story about community. It's a very personal story to me. It's about my hometown. I watched this happen. There but for fortune, I would have worked in that shipyard. I became a singer instead. I'm very happy to do that. But it's a very personal, very emotional story for me.
Yeah, so you kind of alluded to it, but obviously, like you mentioned, based on your childhood, growing up in Wallsend, England, in the shipyards, Jackie White, the main character, how much of that is actually, you know, based on like, what are there any elements of that that, you know, are pulled from you, or is he sort of just, you know, an amalgamation of a bunch of different things?
Well, he's the foreman of the shipyard, and he's an amalgamation of people I knew, including my own father, and including myself. You know, I'm a kind of foreman in a way. I'm a band leader. From a working class background. So there's a lot I can draw upon, a lot of resources I can draw upon. So Jackie White is my avatar in this.
Run down the quick premise, like I said, in case any of our listeners, you know, maybe they missed it on Broadway. You know what? You know, explain Jackie's situation at the outset and his journey.
You know, Jackie White has worked in the shipyard since he was a kid, since he was 14, his entire life. And they've built the biggest ships in the world. They're immensely proud of the work they've done. Their identity as a community is completely wound up with what they do. And then economic theories come in and say, oh, the bottom line is more important. We have to close the shipyard and throw the entire community on the scrapyard, the scrap heap. And for me, that's a very abstract mathematical thing, you know, where, you know, the value of community is excised from the equation. And when that happens, economics is untenable. So my feeling is that community should really be put back into the equation, and that's what this play says.
So many people, I mean, you mentioned Detroit, but, you know, so many people in America will be able to relate to that. Brian and what was it, John? John Logan and Brian Yorkie. How did you actually hook up with them? Did they start writing the book first, or did the music and lyrics start coming to you, and then you approached them and said, hey, I think I got something?
You know, I wrote most of the songs, and I had the arc of the story that the shipyard would close, and that the men would actually occupy the shipyard themselves and build their own ship. So this was my idea. Then I brought in two professional writers to make it, you know, work well. And on top of that, we have the current director also wrote the new draft, and his name is Lorne Campbell. So I had a lot of help. It's a very, you know, theater is a very, very collaborative enterprise, as you well know, and I've had a lot of very expert help. So I'm very proud of this piece. It's been evolving for the last 7 years and continues to evolve, and I'm very excited to bring it back to the National Theater.
You just mentioned that, you know, that you already sort of had the arc kind of coming to you. Where, describe that. Is that like standing in the shower, you're going over this arc, you know? Because you've, you know, it's not like you said, hey, I want you to make a musical of Sting's greatest hits. And no, this is a whole new endeavor for you.
You know, I think I'm ideally placed to tell this story because I'm from that community. I was born and raised in that community, and then I left. And I think when you're exiled, you have an objectivity that perhaps you wouldn't have if you were still there. I'm a songwriter, I'm a storyteller, and so I was ideally placed to tell this story that hadn't been told before. And my intention was to honor the town that I came from, to honor the people I was brought up with, and also bring a message to the world that I think is necessary right at this point. I think we're in trouble because we've forgotten the value of community. I'll keep reiterating that.
Absolutely. Highlight a couple of the songs for me if you want. Let's go, the opening number, Island of Souls. How did that one come to you? Explain the message of that.
Island of Souls was originally on an album I made in 1990 called Soul Cages, which was really, it was my first foray into telling the story of my town.
You won a Grammy for that,
I won a Grammy for it. It was really about the death of my father, but also the death of the shipyard. So that was the first thing. And then I always thought it had a theatrical... there was something theatrical about it. Perhaps one day as a dream of making it into a show.
You were thinking about that all the way
back
then?
I was thinking about it all the way back then. It took me a long time to figure it out. But Island of Souls was the beginning of that.
Describe just the musicology of that.
It tells the story of someone like me who leaves the town, who doesn't want to work in the shipyard and goes out into the bigger world and then returns to face his responsibilities to his family, to his community, and also to himself. And so he finds redemption by returning home, which is somewhat what I did.
And then right after that, after that big rousing opening, after the opening number that hooks us, and then we go into All This Time, right, is the next number. Now that was actually, I'm sure our listeners will remember, that was a radio hit, off of the same Soul Cages, right? Remind them what that's about. Isn't that also about dealing with the death of your father, right?
All This Time is about many things. It's about the town. My town was quite historic. It was the end of the Roman Wall. It's called War's End. The Emperor Hadrian, that was the end of the earth as far as he was concerned. And then the Vikings came, and the Scottish and the English, we were at war for 1,000 years, and our town was right in the middle of all that. So it's got quite a historic thing. Also, we built the biggest ships in the world at the end of my street. Literally, the largest vessels ever constructed on planet Earth were built in my town. So there's a great deal of pride there, a great deal of history, and all of this time is about that continuity.
You've always had the shit. I mean, I even remember when it came time for you to record a holiday song, you did I Saw Three Ships, right? You always do the ship songs. Take me into the title song, because there's a part one and a part two in the show, right? Doesn't it come as like a reprise, too? But remind us the title song.
The Last Ship is the eponymous title of the play. But it begins in downtown Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago and then winds its way to my town in contemporary times. I won't give it away, but a very important person comes to our town because there's a ship being launched. It used to happen a lot. When they launched the big ship, they would invite a dignitary or a member of the royal family. The queen came, the queen mother, the Duke of Edinburgh, and that was a big deal. But this song is about somebody much more important.
Gotcha. Not to give it away, but I think we MPP could maybe guess based on those clues. What's the big number that takes us into intermission? That's always a big one.
I'm trying to remember what it is. I think it is the last
it's
ship.
The last ship.
It's
okay.
The last ship. Song in a church.
Gotcha. And then what number closes the show out?
The last ship closes the show.
The reprise.
So it's I think we have it's a reprise, yeah.
Okay, cool. Take me into. You said the show has evolved a little bit. You said it continues to evolve, and you chuckled. what are some of the if any of our listeners caught it on Broadway, even what are some of the differences now? Maybe story wise, any characters removed, that kind of thing.
We played in Toronto at the beginning of the year, and some of the Broadway cast came up and were watching from the balcony, and their eyes were wide because there was so much that was different. They were freaking out.
I don't remember this.
we excised a a couple of characters, and they became composites of other characters. A character that was a boy is now a girl. I mean, there's some radical differences. It's actually much more political now than it was.
How so? Explain.
It's about community. It's about, you know, social issues, and I think we're very upfront about what that is.
Okay. Visually, because this is, you know, a theater spectacle here, you have a rich, you know, you got the shipyards. My mind's automatically thinking of, you know, Brando on the docks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah. There's that rich. Talk about how that's visually created. When they come to National Theater, what are we going to see? Docks, ships, that kind
of thing. Well, it has an operatic scale. A shipyard is a vast thing, and we've managed to reproduce it with a production company called 59 Productions, who were the people who put the Apollo 11 under the monument, you know,
really?
with projections.
Yeah.
So we recreate the dimension of a shipyard on the stage. It's very exciting.
Through projections?
Projections.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And describe other visual elements, like the costumes, you know, what are we, obviously the period.
Well, the costumes are contemporary. I'm not dressed as a rock star at all. I'm dressed as the foreman of the shipyard. They're contemporary for the 80s. Yeah.
That's awesome. Choreographer, Stephen Hoggett, choreographed this thing on Broadway. Is he torn with this or no?
No, we have another choreographer. You know, this thing is constantly evolving and moving. Stephen did fantastic work. But the lady who did the choreography on this one just did the Bob Dylan musical.
Nice.
I've forgotten what it was called.
Yeah.
Girl from the North Country.
Yeah. I was going to say I'm Not There, but that was the movie. Awesome. Explain sort of the choreography, the dance. You know, what sort of movements do we see here? Is it like, you know, we have falsies, snapping? You know,
it's not chorus line. Obviously, right. They're shipyard workers, and so they have to move in a way that represents the way working people move. It's not balletic, but nonetheless, it is choreography, and it's very expressive. So it's important that we show working people doing things that seem natural, and yet they are dance.
Yeah. What have you come from a complete, it's a related world, you know, of music and recording and touring on stage and everything, but what have you, you know, learned or been, I guess, most surprised by how hard or difficult a certain element of the theater is? Is it just the night in, night out, having to do it so many times, or you know, what surprised you most about theater?
Performing it. Well, you know, I'm sort of used to it because I've been in Broadway musicals before, and I've acted in film. I think the most surprising thing was in the creation of it, how collaborative it is, how difficult it is, to advance narrative through song. It's certainly not easy, but it's been the most enjoyable, the most challenging, the most difficult, the most exciting adventure of my creative life. So I'm very proud to be showing it right now.
Who else do we have in the cast with you here? And you want to dish on some of the stars here?
We have people who are local to my area, mainly, and there's a great sort of pool of talent there. I think I'm the only name on the cast. I think that's right. But by the end of the run, who knows? We have some wonderful actors.
Yeah. Any cool feedback you've received, or you know, someone have come up to you either at the stage door or you know on the street and saying, "Wow, that part really knocked me out."
You know, when we had a very early workshop in New York City in 2014, Steven Spielberg came and said, "I love this thing. You have to take this to the people. You have to take this out into the, you know, the field, if you like, and take it to the people." So that's what we're doing. We're taking it around America. We've taken it around Britain. We were in Canada earlier this year. And I'm going to invite Stephen back to see what he thinks.
Where do you think? Is you playing out in L.A. for him to come see it?
We're playing for 5 weeks at the Amundsen in L.A. in January. So, yeah, he'll come.
That's so cool. Do you want to, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't realize that he was going to show up with a guitar today. Do you mind playing us a little bit?
Sure, I'll play something.
Okay. And let me, if you don't mind, let me, I'll roll a little video here too.
You ready?
Go for it.
It's all there in the Gospels. The Magdalene girl comes to pay her respects, but her mind is a whirl when she finds the tomb empty.
The straw had been rolled, not a sign of a corpse. In the dark and the cold, when she reaches the door, sees an unholy sight. There's a solitary figure in a halo of light. He just carries on floating past Calvary Hill in an almighty hurry. Aye, but she might catch him still. Tell me, where are you going, Lord, and why in such haste? Now don't hinder me, woman. I've no time to waste, for they're launching a boat on the morrow at noon, and I have to be there before daybreak. Oh, I cannot be missing. The lads will expect me. Why else would the good Lord himself resurrect me? For nothing will stop me. I have to prevail through the teeth of this tempest in the mouth of a gale. May the angels protect us if all else should fail when the last ship sails. Oh, the roar of the chains and the cracking of timbers, the noise at the end of the world in your ears, as a mountain of steel makes its way to the sea, and the last ship sails when the last ship sails.
Awesome. Thank you. Obviously, piggybacking off of that real fast in closing here, obviously some very spiritual themes in this show. Talk about how important that was to you in crafting this. You got the stone rolling away, lots of imagery there.
You know, there's lots of religious imagery in the Last Ship. I was brought up in a very religious community, and music became my spiritual path. But I never forgot the imagery and the stories of the Bible. And so there's a lot of that in this play.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll leave it at that to have to, you know, everyone come see exactly what we're talking about, because we don't want to spoil the play, but or the musical. But thanks so much, Steve. This was an honor talking to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.